This is a replay of Monday Night Trivia from March 18th on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It's Monday Night Trivia. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, and that's because everybody knows something about something. So if you don't have an answer for my straggler question, or you don't know any of my bumper stumpers or the theme thereof, and there is one tonight, then just pick your own category and win. All right, it's as simple as that. Now, if you were listening last week, you know the straggler. It's the norm that stars appearing on the Oscars telecast wear borrowed jewelry, and the carat count was high this year. The Tiffany's and Louis Vuitton's, all the big players are happy to get their gems on famous necks, and sometimes $20 million worth of them, though not this year. However, close, I'll tell you what. Well, what I want to know, with that preamble, what star ever lost the most expensive piece of jewelry at the Oscars? And it was found. For extra credit, I guess you can tell me where it was found. But if you know what star lost it, well, that's all it takes. So that's my question. As I say, there will be a theme for the bumper stumpers. And thank God for Carol Ford's show prep, or I would be in deep trouble. This morning, about 3 a.m., I came up with the theme. All right, and I decided, this is it. I know, and wrote all the songs down I wanted to use and everything about it, and I figured, well, tomorrow I'll just set them up on the computer, and got up this afternoon and realized I did not save the file. Well, it's worse than that, actually. I copied it and then thought I pasted it somewhere, but didn't, and actually trashed the original file, so out it went. Well, great minds think alike, because Carol had come up with the same idea for a theme for tonight on March 18th, and so it was that that she saved me. She didn't actually pick the same records I did, but it didn't matter, because I had the theme and I had enough of the possibilities that I was able to get that together, but I wouldn't have been able to do that without her. I would just be moaning and gnashing my teeth and all those other things. So we thank you. Thank you, and I think you'll enjoy the theme. Now, like I say, if you got an answer for my trivia question, that's great. But if you don't, you can have your own category. And that's where we're going to start it off tonight. And Barry, who usually is everything Beatles because he knows everything there is to know about the Beatles, is picking charts. So, Barry from New Hampshire, how's it going?
Hey, Raleigh. How are you? I didn't do well in the advertising last week, so.
So let's move right over to charts. All right.
Was it Sharon Stone that lost the diamonds?
It was not.
Oh, okay.
But that's a nice guess. Now, it says here you want March of 1966.
Yes.
Any particular week in March?
Midweek, around St. Patrick's Day.
All right. For 66 St. Patrick's Day chart, let's see what we have here. And I won't ask where you were because it was probably in your room. So,
great.
Yeah, very good.
Well,
it's perfect because you had nothing to do but listen to the radio. So,
that's right. Yep, transistor.
Yeah. So we'll do the week of March 19th, 1966. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, The Ballad of the Green Berets.
Sergeant Barry Sadler.
Absolutely. Number two, 19th Nervous Breakdown.
Rolling Stones.
Yep. Number three, These Boots Are Made for Walking.
Nancy Sinatra.
Number four, Nowhere Man.
Beatles.
Number five, Elusive Butterfly.
Bobby Lynn.
Number six, Listen People.
Hermits, Hermits.
Yeah, number seven, California Dreamin'.
Bobbers and the Papas.
Number eight, Homeward Bound.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Number nine, I Fought the Law.
Bobby Fuller Four.
And number 10, Daydream.
Loving Spoonful.
Well, you won. You got 100%. Let's see how far you go. Number 11, Love Makes the World Go Round.
I can hear that.
One of my all-time favorites. Yes. A Michigan boy. And it was on Carla.
Don't know.
That's all right. Deion Jackson. But that's okay. You got the top 10 right out of the box. So that's darn good. So hang on. Don't go away. All right. So Barry nails it, the entire top 10 there. And that's as easy as that. So you know something about something. It may not be the top 10 musically, but it's something. So by all means, weigh in. Now we have one line available at the moment, and that is 888-876-5593. And Sherry is a first-time caller. She's in Romeoville, Illinois. Sherry, thanks for calling WGN.
Hi, Wally.
I'm so glad you called. What do you think?
I think I have two guesses on the trivia. The first one, I think, is Madonna. She was performing a song, and I think she lost an earring.
Oh, my God. That's not who it is.
Betty Davis?
Nope.
Okay.
But those
I tried.
You sure did, and I hope you will again. Thank you for calling.
I will.
All
Thank
right.
you. Bye-bye.
So, nice to hear from Sherry. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we got guesses from Sam and guesses from Ruth and Leah and Marcus Hook and a couple lines available for you too. But I know if you listen to this show, one thing you know about is radio, because I talk so much about it, you probably couldn't put up with me if you didn't love it. And if you do, you probably know all about the Sea Crane Company. But if not, well, as I've mentioned many times, Bob Crane should be knighted, because when he many, many years ago realized how bad reception was in the current radios, he said, I can do better. And boy, did he. Tremendous AM. In fact, best AM really out there, period. And great, great FM as well. And that's the hallmark of all his radios, but many of them have other features as well. Now, my bedside companion is the CC Radio 2E. It is just terrific. And as I say, AM and FM. In fact, you can do a test. You can put the 2E next to your standard radio, tune in a weak station, try it on your standard radio. It probably isn't even there. Yeah, it'll just blow it out of the water right there. It makes signals better, period. Now, not only that, it's got weather and weather alert. It's got a digital readout. It's got a clock and a timer and an alarm. And it's got the 2-meter ham band. And if you don't know much about the 2-meter ham band, if you go to ccradio.com, you can look for 2-meter. In fact, I always say ccradio.com, but it's actually ccrane.com, ccrane.com/2-meter, and you'll get a lot of information about why you might be very interested in hearing what's on that. But even for just AM, FM, and the weather, man, it's just great. Power to bring in the weak signals better. So if you've been struggling to hear something, this is a great solution. Digital readout, but you can fine-tune in narrow increments and just listen to your heart's content. Oh, yeah, you can get it on Amazon for quicker shipping. But the best thing to do is go online to ccradio.com. Sign up for their newsletter. Be the first to know about exclusive offers. And if you can't go online, well, they've got the best customer service in the world, and they will take your order anytime. Not only that, they'll answer your questions. They'll send you out a catalog in the mail if you want it. And that's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, ccradio.com, look at the CC Radio 2E. I think you're going to like it. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and you're saying, that's not Jackie Wilson. Of course it's not. I wouldn't have played anything that easy. So who is it? I will tell you, they are an American R&B group, but they formed in Italy in 1966. It was a group of NATO soldiers. So who are they? 888-876-5593. And that came out on RCA. So there you have it. Even hints. All right, so we're going to talk to Ruth in Gurnee, who's got some guesses and wants a Titanic question. How you doing, Ruth?
Hi, good evening, Mrs. Jane. You know, I've tried to, I've wanted to call for almost 3 weeks. And one day I finally made the call, and my cord was just even less than a thread for recharging, you know, the energy. Mm-hmm. And I waited 2 hours.
Oh, it
and
happens.
That was it.
I'm so
no
sorry.
No more being able to charge the phone, and it would be days before I could get another one.
Oh, no.
You know, because I'm almost paraplegic. But anyway, the thing of it is that I want to say first that I have not watched most of these movies. It was kind of even my favorite, the classic ones. But I didn't want to do any romance movies. It was too painful. And so, therefore, I missed out on a lot of things. I did not watch Titanic for over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought your question about the lost necklace, I would text the physician that with the stars who might have lost it. So can I do that, the stars first?
Well, you can tell me who you think lost it, sure.
Okay. Is it Meg Ryan, the one that was sleeping in Seattle?
Nope.
Is that the
nope.
actress? No. Okay. But it's a correct name because I haven't
right.
seen any of these movies.
Okay. Who else?
I bet in 12 years I've seen 2 movies. Longer than that, actually. Okay.
Right.
Could it be Angelina Jolie?
Nope. Next.
Okay. Harry. Helen Mirren?
Nope. Next.
Jennifer Hudson?
Nope. Next.
Oprah Winfrey.
Nope. And your final guess?
Nope, that was it. I had 5.
Okay,
see, I haven't gone to the movie, so I'm really not familiar. It's amazing that I could even remember them, and I remembered that
okay.
last week, too, and I waited for everybody else to see what they were saying. Now, back to the Titanic. I just heard about an author who wrote a book said
okay,
America's
I gotta Chance. I gotta cut you off and move on because lines are full. So let's get to your question and see if you can give me an answer. All right.
Okay. Well,
Titanic.
Go ahead.
Right.
What the necklace in the ocean? Does blue topaz?
What does Jack teach Rose to do that her mother does not approve of?
Say the question again, please.
What does Jack teach Rose to do that her mother doesn't approve of?
Okay, that's really good. That one I don't know. There's a lot of things about the movie that I do remember.
Oh, he teaches her how to spit.
Lonely rivers flowing to the open arms of the sea would be the necklace lost.
He teaches her how to spit. And we'll talk to you later. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Swim.
All right.
Swim.
Spit. 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 As
swim?
In. Yes, as in expectorate. Spit.
Pardon me?
He teaches her to spit. As in expectorate, spit.
Well, that's really interesting.
Yeah, her mother didn't like it at all. Thanks for calling. I appreciate
it.
All right, we'll talk to you next time. Now, yeah, Mondays, we need to move along. So let's see what we can quickly do here. Well, great. When I'm in a rush, I always manage to do something. And, well, I did it this time. All right, so let's see what we can do. Oh, Barry called back. All right, Barry, what's up?
Yeah, well, I want to know if you've got my email about questions about like WBZ and C-Crane Radio, and it was like 4 different questions.
Really? No, I did not. So
yeah.
I have to look for that, I guess. I'll look for it, but call me tomorrow. Well, tomorrow night's a very short show. I don't know if you'll be up late enough, but Wednesday we should have a full show.
Okay,
and I'll look for it or send it again, and we'll see if we can't answer it on the air.
Okay, was it Madonna that lost the diamonds?
It was not.
Okay. All
thanks for trying. Okay, bye.
All right.
So, I'm bad at email. I try, but sometimes it's overwhelming and I just dump them all. That's why I always say when they say, do you want paperless billing? Oh, no, I better not have that. All right. So, 888-876-5593. Barb in Yorkville is going to take some guesses. How are you tonight, Barb?
Fine, honey. How are you?
All right. Glad to hear from you. What do you think?
Oh, my gosh, I have so many names. I've thought about them over the weekend. I must have 20.
Well, let's do
or more.
Okay, we do 6 at a time, but you can keep calling back.
Okay. Susan Hayward.
Nope.
I just watched a movie of hers this afternoon.
Nope.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Nope. Next.
Mary Sternbergen.
Next.
Sarah Fawcett.
Next.
Carrie Fisher.
Next.
And Jennifer Aniston.
Call me back.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
I'll
appreciate
do
it.
That.
All right.
Thank
so,
you.
Good deal. So that's a fine 6. It's not none of them are right, of course. Or she would have won. So, let's say goodbye to Barb. Put a line. Let me get a line available for you now so I don't put her on hold so we free that line, or at least I try to. And, yep, one line available for you, 888-876-5593. If it's busy when you call, just wait for somebody to hang up like Barb just did, and the line will be available to you. So, with that in mind, let's see, Leah and Marcus Hook wants to take some guesses. So, Leah, how are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
I can't complain.
Okay, I have 6 for you. Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Next.
Ava Gabor.
Next.
Joan Collins.
Next.
Glenn Close.
Next.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Next.
Jane Fonda.
Call me back.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yeah, so, now, like we talked last week, remember that the Oscars is not only the people who are up for the Oscars, but they have a lot of other people on the telecast as well. So, don't necessarily, I won't say it's not somebody who, was a big star that way, nominated, but don't leave people out who were just on the darn thing as well. So, yeah, but of course, it has to be somebody fairly famous if they're lent those jewels. I realize it's not a no-name. They don't give millions of dollars to someone they've never heard of. But Marianne in Chicago is going to take a guess on the bumper. Who do you think it was?
Hey, Raleigh, how are you?
All right.
The Four Tenths.
Why do you know that?
It sounds so much like Jackie Wilson.
Yeah, but the Four Kents, I don't even think they got American airplay. But you're absolutely right. It was the Four Kents. So hang on, you're a winner. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
All right. So with that, we'll find out what's going on in the world at large and come back right after the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there's a lot going on in that. That's for sure. Who is she? 888-876-5593. What does she have in common with the effort by the Four Kents? All right. Still surprised Marianne knew the Four Kents. That's pretty good. I don't think they ever released anything in America. But maybe I'm wrong, but I thought most of the stuff was like on Parlophone or something. Although my guess, it might have been on RCA Italy. I think I said that, actually. So, all right, now, we have a straggler. If we don't get it at the end of the night tonight, then we reveal it. Yeah, because I don't let a straggler go more than a whole week. And we're talking about the Oscars, since it was on TV fairly recently. And you know how the Oscars are. All the big jewelers, the Tiffany's and Louis Vuitton's and Harry Winston's are wanting to get their goods around the neck of the famous. And so it is that they lend their jewels. And in one case a few years ago, it was a $20 million necklace. Well, this wasn't that. But it was the most expensive piece of jewelry ever lost at the Oscars. And I will say later it was found. And I think it's more fun to talk about where it was found. But that said, what I want to know, who lost it? 888-876-5593. Or guess my bumper stumper. Or when all else fails, pick your own category. And that's exactly what Paul in Buffalo Grove does. He usually defers to the television show Lost. So, Paul, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, yeah, here I am.
Yeah, and we're sticking with Lost. So,
Yeah, finally missed one, so let's see what happens.
Oh, you'll
get
this, I'm sure. Who did Anna kill?
Well, you did that one already.
Oh, I did? All right.
And you know what's funny about that one?
What?
Because luckily, when I answered it, I gave the right answer, but then I found out, like, the next day when I was thinking about it, she actually killed more than one person.
Really?
So I could have given, before she got on the island when she was a police officer, she had killed somebody else. And, boy, if I would have said that one, I would have gotten it wrong, even though it would have been right. But never mind, because I got the right one that you had, so.
Well, they actually gave me from five choices, and it was Goodwin. But the choices they gave me were Ethan, Goodwin, Walt, Claire, and Saeed.
Oh, yeah, you know. Wait, that's weird.
I don't know.
I don't think she killed Saeed.
No, I guess. I don't think she killed. I think she just killed Ethan. The other four were probably wrong. That's how they picked the question.
Yeah. Well, the other guy that she killed while she was a police officer before the story of Lost happened, I wouldn't even know that guy's name because I don't think he's not really a major character. Well, I guess he is a character, but I wouldn't even know what his name was. But I remember she killed somebody else out of like revenge because that guy had killed her partner, so then she made sure she found out where he was hanging out and whatever, and then she shot and murdered him.
Well, let's try this one. I don't think I've asked this one. It's hard to. I'm going to have to mark them, I realize, since I have no memory, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
What is Sun's baby's name?
Oh, it's a girl, and boy, yeah, she named it after her husband wanted, because she thought her husband was dead. But he was just lost in another time. And he had said he would like the girl to be... Oh, what was her name? You know, it's a Korean name, but...
It's two words.
Yeah. Boy, that's weird because... She will eventually be a main character when the series ever continues, but... Boy, you know, it's a stickler for names here. She said it enough, and then when she finally found her husband again, she mentioned that she named it after what he wanted her to be named. I can remember all this, but I can't remember the name.
Oh, man. Well, you're doing better than me. I have no idea, of course. And I will say that 77% of the people got it right, so it must be a question that you're going to recognize when I tell you, but I wouldn't know if my life depended on it.
I'm sure it would, because it's something that I know. It's just one of those things, you know how it is when you know, like if it was a multiple choice question, I would get it, but you know what I mean? It's like you can't just off the top of your head get it.
Yeah, well, let's give it to you as a multiple choice then. I can do that. And you'll get it right away. Aaron, Namaste, no. Jaeon, Aria, or Lily?
Yeah, Jim Jaeon, whatever that one.
Yep, Jaeon, J-I-Y-E-O-N. That's it. Jaeon is Sun's baby's name.
Yeah.
Of
it's
course it is.
Pronounced different. I can't remember.
Oh, I'm sure they pronounced it differently.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. J-I is the first word. The next word is Y-E-O-N.
Yeah. She has such a way with the words and her accent and everything. It sounds really beautiful when she says it. I can't remember. I still can't remember how it's pronounced, but I know that's what it was. Like, it was the two-syllable thing.
Yeah.
She has it. They say it more elegantly somehow.
Well, you know, I'm sure that's right.
That we can't do. I can't do it either.
Like Jayan or something. Who knows?
It was something really. It sounds really cute when you say it, you know, when she says it.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's whatever G's name is. That's correct. All right, Paul. Well, hang on. Don't go away.
Okay.
All right. Absolutely right. Jiyeon Zha, I don't know. All right. But then again, I know none of these questions, but let me put him on hold and mark that I have asked this question, or I'll be asking him again. All right. So, obviously. Now, what are we going to do? I believe that Sam and Gurney is going to take a guess as what's going to happen here. So, Sam, what do you think?
Hey, Raleigh, thanks for having me on. I just want to say a belated happy St. Pat's to you and John, and I hope he's healing well.
Yeah, no, we're, you know, different each day, but a pretty good day. We laid low over St. Patrick's. Usually he wants to go out and do something, but we opted for sleep.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Said something a couple minutes ago, which would cause me to totally believe I'm off track because you said it was probably more recent, but my two guesses were Cher and Elizabeth Taylor.
Those are both great guesses, but I didn't think I said anything that told you anything about the time frame.
Oh, I thought you did. Maybe I misunderstood. I was walking back into the room, and I thought you made some reference to it might have been more recent. But no. I do have, if I can squeeze in a question for you, that last week you were playing Hound Dog a few times, and I was wondering if you know anything, well, I would presume you would, but as far as the history of the song, "There Ain't Nothing, You Ain't Nothing But a Bearcat," with relationship to the Hound Dog song, are you familiar with that?
You know, I've heard that, but all I know about Hound Dog is how Lieber and Stoller came to write it. Now, Lieber and Stoller have been known occasionally to borrow some ideas, shall we say, but it was Johnny Otis who called him and said, "Do you know Big Mama Thornton?" And they said, "No." He said, "Well, come over here. You need to meet her because I need you to write some songs for her." And they wrote it for Big Mama Thornton. But so I assume it was just an original.
Okay, well, I want to say I listened to the song "Ain't Nothing But a Bearcat," and I think you should
I think you're talking about the Rufus Thomas Answer song.
Yep.
Well, that's that's way more newer. God, I slaughtered the English language. Why don't I? But yeah, that is that.
Oh, so that's more present than Hound Dog.
Oh yeah, that was but. Absolutely. It was his Answer record, Rufus Thomas, Bearcat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know what the history on it was, but thank you very much. I'll let you move now, on so you can get some more people in there.
I'll tell you one thing that's interesting about it before you go, though. And that's that Rufus Thomas, of course, was a disc jockey in Memphis on WDIA, but he actually recorded it on Sun. So it was the Answer record to the song, and it was on the Sun label. So that was an interesting tidbit about that, because of course he's much more associated with the Stax label and all that. But a lot of people had recorded Hound Dog, at least a few before Elvis. Not only Big Mama Thornton, but Freddie Bell and the Bell Boys did it. And I think Elvis Presley was probably sounding more like Freddie Bell than Big Mama Thornton. And there was litigation over Bearcat. And it actually wound up probably being the reason that Sam Phillips sold the contract to RCA, Elvis's contract to RCA. So there's
very interesting.
Yeah, there's a whole story about that. But no, it was not by any means the first. It was an Answer record.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Have a good one.
Appreciate it.
Sure.
All right. So, that was sort of a mess. And so, no, not first. All right. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We'll get to Lisa in her 1950s movies. Brad in St. Charles has some trivia guesses on who it might be. Bonnie in Butternut has some guesses for us. And Tim in Shreveport wants more AM radio trivia. And I can do that coming up on WGN Radio. We'll be right back. Raleigh James, who is that? Yeah, what do they have in common with the first two songs we played? So, 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. All right, now, what are we doing here? Well, yeah, I should review. I guess I should. We're talking about the Oscars. This is our straggler from last week. More timely then, because it's right after the Oscars performance, but the deal is that the carat count in terms of jewelry is always very high, and most of the stars are adorned in borrowed jewels because jewelers like Tiffany or Louis Vuitton or Harry Winston, let's face it, they want their stuff on display, and so they manage to loan it out, and so it is worn. Well, usually there's no problems, and if there are problems, they're insured, but the idea of losing them is fairly rare. Well, in one case, during the telecast, it was noticed one of the so adorned individuals lost the necklace. All right, it was a necklace. $6 million, as I recall. Well, a frantic search began. I want to know who is it that lost it. All right, so that's the question. And then, of course, we'll get into where it was found, and it was. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. So we have... I believe we finished talking to Sam and Gurney, and that would take us to Barb in Yorkville with more guesses. All right, Barb, what do you think?
Okay. How about Angie Dickinson?
Nope.
Betty Grable?
Nope.
Betty Hutton?
Nope.
Shirley Temple?
Nope.
Shirley Jones?
Nope.
Paulette Goddard?
That's half dozen. Call me back. Thanks.
Okay, honey.
All right,
thank
good
you.
Good deal.
Bye.
All right. So sooner or later with Bob, we're going to get through everybody who's ever been on an Oscar performance. So that's one way to do it, don't you think? Brad in St. Charles has a guess. What do you think, Brad? All right. Brad left us. So it happens. Let's see what Bonnie and Butternut has to say for herself. Hello, Bonnie.
Hi, Raleigh.
What do you
How
think?
How about Carol Burnett?
Not
Carol Burnett.
Not Carol Burnett. Next.
Beyonce.
Nope. Anybody else?
Whoopi Goldberg.
We have a winner. We have a winner.
I can't believe it. Okay, good.
You are a winner. Here is the deal. It was 2002, and Whoopi lost a $6 million 80-carat yellow diamond necklace borrowed from Harry Winston. All right.
Is that when she came out as Queen Elizabeth or something?
Well, here's the deal. I don't know what she was wearing, but it caused a frantic search, to say the least. Now, a Winston security guard found it. Now, this is the part that I am wondering to this day exactly how he found it, because he found it in Whoopi Goldberg's cleavage. Now, I assume he somehow noticed it rather than felt it, but that was the deal. They were frantically looking for this, and it had fallen into her cleavage.
Oh, well.
That's it. You are a winner.
She got She had a good catch.
Oh, God. Yes, didn't she, though? But, yeah, I can't begin to imagine precisely how that went down. But you're 100% right. Whoopi Goldberg in 2002. So hang on. You are a winner.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm so, wonderful.
Yeah, so that's great. So Bonnie wins. All right, we'll put her on hold, confirm the address. And, again, you're doing it for the fun of it. You know, it takes forever to get the prizes. More than a year at this point, actually. And with that in mind, it's not even worth the price of the postage it takes to get it to you. But you get a certificate and some other fun things, maybe a tabloid or a DVD or a CD or something. So you're doing it for the fun of it, and I appreciate it. And we have 2 more hours to do it here on Monday Night Trivia on WGN Radio.
We may not have a cent to pay the rent. We're gonna make it, I know we will. We may have to eat beans every day. We're gonna make it, I know we will. And if a job is hard to find, we have to stand in the welfare line. I've got your love, and you know you got mine. So we're gonna make it, I know we will. We may not have a home to call our own, but we're gonna make it, I know we will. We may have to fight hardships alone, but we're gonna make it, I know we will. Because togetherness brings peace of mind, and we can stand up all the time. I've got your love, and you know you got mine. So we're gonna make it. Make it, I know we will. But if I have to carry around a sign saying forget about the deaf, dumb, and blind, because I got your love and you know you got mine, so we're gonna make it.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. All right, so who is that? And a fine version, I might say. And what does it have in common with everything else we've been playing? Now, we have another trivia question coming up, since our Oscar question was won moments ago, Whoopi Goldberg, 2002. The new question. In 2004, the average American did this 46 hours a year. Now, just 20 years earlier, the average American did it only 16 hours a year. So, what increased significantly in those 20 years? So there it was, I guess 1984, 16 hours a year. 2004, 46 hours a year. What is it? 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. All right, so there's our question. Of course, our bumper stumpers are up for grabs. And Fran in Austin wants lyrics. So Fran, how are you?
I'm here.
Yep. Understood completely.
Right, yeah. Still dealing with the same pain issues. And,
oh, I'm so sorry.
So anyway, more about that later on in the week.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Okay, lyrics. And you want 1964 lyrics. So here we go.
Yes.
I hear them whispering when I walk by, he's going to break her heart and make her cry.
Oh, it's, she loves me, that's all I can say.
Yep.
Maybe I know.
Absolutely right. Maybe I know that he's been a-cheating. Maybe I know that he's been untrue. Yeah, absolutely right.
But what can she do? She can leave him. That's what she can do.
Well, that's right. She absolutely could. And, you know, the song never... I was hoping that, you know, by the end of it, she walks out. But no. He really loves me. That's all I can say. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he really loves me. That's why he treats me like,
yes,
you know.
Yes, yes. Leslie. So, yes, Ellie Greenwich,
yeah, she did a lot of that, though, which is kind of funny because in reality, she was not that kind of woman at all.
Well, that's why her favorite among those that era was You Don't Own Me.
I love that song.
Yeah, so did she.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah. Yeah.
And especially in those days I did because, right, like, you know, you didn't hear too many. I mean,
yeah.
Well, more of the soul songs, a lot of the soul songs had more,
yeah,
women that just, you know, I'm not taking this, like, you know, songs like Playboy.
Right.
And Mama Didn't Lie.
Yes,
you know.
Yes. Yeah, but pop, so. it was not the case with pop. And this Ellie Greenwich, Jeff Berry, Maybe I Know, was pretty typical of the times. And hopefully Leslie, in 1964, left all the way to the bank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then we got songs like I Will Follow Him. So, you know, yeah.
Well, right. Oh, God, I know. Although
I hate that song.
When that came out, though, you know, it's mangled lyrics. People would call and say, I want to hear Apollo. Like Apollo, and it was weeks before I figured they were saying I'll follow. Oh,
Apollo,
yeah,
Apollo. Oh,
right.
My God,
I want to hear Apollo. Yeah, exactly. Well, you are a winner as usual, so don't go away.
Okay, thanks,
all
Riley.
Right, we'll confirm that address, but probably John knows it by heart by now. But just in case, all right. Now, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And Laura in Willowbrook wants Sound of Music trivia. All right, Laura, how's it going?
Pretty good, but I'm looking forward to warmer weather. It's supposed to go up 20 degrees tomorrow, so it's a little chilly, but it's March, you know?
Well, that's right, and spring is coming, and then all bets are off. Anything could happen.
That's it, right.
Yeah. All right, so it's a quote. A quote from The Sound of Music.
Oh, okay.
After all, the wool of a black sheep is just as warm. Who said it?
The wool of a black sheep is just as warm.
I should probably set the scene for you. This was when they were discussing Maria leaving the Abbey.
The wool of a black sheep. Okay. So it's going to be one of the other nuns. Okay. Let's see, we've got Mother Abbess, we've got Sister Margareta, we've got Sister Berta. Okay, I'm sorry, can you give it to me again, please?
After all, the wool of a black sheep is just as warm.
It's either going to be Sister Margareta or Mother Abbess. I'm going to say Sister Margareta.
We have a winner.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Absolutely right. All right,
all right,
Laura, good going. Hang on, don't go away.
Thanks, Robbie.
Right. Yes,
take care.
Yes, Laura knows her Sound of Music, so we put her on hold. And we go to Lisa in Dundee for 1950s movies. Hello, Lisa. How's it going? I can't complain. How about yourself?
Yeah, same here.
All right, I want you to name the 1958 movie that was actually set in the 1930s, starring Ingrid Bergman as Gladys.
Ingrid Bergman.
Yes, set in the 1930s.
Movie, but it was set in the 1930s.
Yes, a heartwarming drama, the story of an English woman who applies to become a missionary, but is rejected because she isn't qualified.
Wow. Oh, that sounds like one I should know, Raleigh.
Yeah, and it was interesting because when she is rejected, she's still determined to do God's work. So she travels independently to China, founds an orphanage. Later, the Japanese invade. They force her and several dozen children to attempt an escape over the mountains.
Sounds like you're giving me Sound of Music.
Yeah, but I'm not. But I'm not. Yes.
No, I know. Ingrid Bergman.
Yes.
Oh, man. No, I don't think I'm going to know this one.
I gave you all the hints I can since I have no idea. All right.
No,
so
I know.
Here it is. It's called The Inn of the Sixth Happiness.
Again, I've heard of it.
You have?
Like the other gentleman said, if you would give me a choice, well, I would pick it out. But
I didn't
it's
have
so
choices.
Hard to,
yeah, I didn't
you know,
have choices.
To pick it out of your brain.
Yes.
But, yeah, I have heard of that movie for sure.
All right. Well, I'm
but
so glad
I still
to
enjoy
hear
this, so you're still going to hear me next Monday.
Oh, I'm counting on it. Thanks. I'll try to find okay a choice. All right. Thanks.
Okay.
All
thanks
right. So, very good. So, yeah, see, because I can't make it a choice unless it is a choice, because, of course, I've never heard of the movie. All right, so, oh, look at this. We're going to be talking to Johnny D. I'm looking forward to that. Apparently, his wife is either sound asleep or away. So, we'll also get to Tim and Shreveport for his AM radio trivia. I'm prepared. Mark and Aurora wants 1974 charts. Barbara in Yorkville, music? All right, we'll see if we can't narrow that. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Cold and last night we had a bite, but never twice in the same moonlight. We can do it if we try it away. If our hearts are together, yeah, make our love last forever. Grow deeper, stronger. I was rude despite your loving mood. Next time I'll be cool, so we can do it if we try a little harder. Do it if our hearts are together. Yeah, make our love last forever. Go deeper, stronger, last so much longer.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and who is that? And what's in common with the other stuff we've played? All right, since we're talking about who the bumpers are on Monday Night Trivia, it's appropriate we talk to Jimmy P. on the South Side. How's it going, Jimmy P.?
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
I got a wild guess on this. We can make it, or we're going to make it. This guy sang, he also sang, I think, at least it was a man, Little Milton.
It is not Little Milton. Little Milton had a hit with it, of course, but that's not what I played.
Oh, God. Well, I'm in the right church with the wrong pew,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, he'd be very impressed that you mistook him for Little Milton, because he was a British guy who loved R&B and just basically imitated our R&B. And you mentioned Little Milton. Let me let you hear a little of him doing Who's Cheating Who, because, hey, for a white guy from Great Britain, he does a pretty damn good job. Here he is.
That doesn't mean that's where I'm going. I called my meal to cook when I return, baby. That doesn't mean that's all you've been doing. I could be on the street playing the game, and you could be at home doing the same dumb thing. Cause when you cheat on a love that's true, oh baby, now who's cheating who?
Not bad, is it?
Not bad at all.
Yeah.
So, all right, Riley, I took a guess, and maybe the next one I'll get.
I hope so. Thanks for calling.
Okay, Riley.
All right. So, always good to hear from Jimmy P., who managed to escape the clutches of having to be in bed. And that's just true for Johnny D. as well. So, Johnny D., welcome back to WGN. Where is the lovely Becky?
Becky is in the sweet arms of Morpheus.
Oh. Very, very good. And she doesn't know that you've snuck off to call the show.
She gave me a a reprieve, or what do you call
it? Oh, really? Really?
I got a reprieve.
Yeah, I wonder what she wants in return.
Well, gifting is going to be coming to me because my birthday is on the 28th. I'll be 27 again.
Oh, again. Very good. Yes, so it's the anniversary of your 27th year. Yes, that's good.
No, I just thought I'd call because I just was listening. And
well, I'm so glad you're awake.
Calling.
Yes, this is wonderful.
Yeah, I should be in the sweet arms of Morpheus myself because only slept a few hours yesterday or something.
Yeah. Years ago on...
How you doing?
I am all right. Years ago on the radio...
You're a great American.
Yeah,
you're
right.
A great American.
Of course I am. I used to follow this guy who was a doctor, and I remember one time he had said that he was going to the sweet arms of Morpheus. I said, no, you're going to the sweet arms of morphine. I know you. And so I'd say same deal here. Better living...
No, I heard that. You know I heard that?
What?
I heard that line... When I was like, I used to like to watch Jason and the Argonauts, you know, all these Hercules and all of that, you know, Sons of Hercules when I was young.
Uh-huh.
And one of them movies, I think it was Jason and the Argonauts, I don't know, there was like something about the guy couldn't sleep or something, and he said, isn't it great to be in the sweet arms of Morpheus?
Yeah, it's Morpheus, but anyway, it's an ancient Greek.
Oh,
it's an,
I thought it was Morpheus.
No, it's Morpheus. And it comes from the
You're
ancient...
You're always correcting me,
well,
Raleigh.
Well, I can't help it.
Good?
It comes from the ancient Greeks, because Morpheus was the son of Hypnos, and Hypnos was the god of sleep.
Yeah, well, okay. Makes sense.
So that's what it was. And so being in the arms of Morpheus mostly means you're sound asleep, usually dreaming.
Yeah, but I thought it had something to do with morphine.
No, it does. I used to make that connection, but no, it absolutely doesn't.
Oh, boy. Well, thanks. Now, finally, all these years, I was thinking...
Well, now,
that,
what I'm going to have to find out is how did they name morphine? Maybe they named morphine after the god Morpheus. I don't know. Hypnos, obviously.
There's a connection there. Check it out. You're real good at that.
Well, I mean, hypnos, obviously, hypnotism and all that. So that would be Morpheus's dad.
Hypnotic.
Yeah, that's right. So that's Morpheus's dad. Well, hang on a minute. Don't go away. We're going to go to the news, and we're going to come back with, I know you want, a hominins question. And we've got one coming up.
Yeah.
Stay right where you are, and right where you are, too, on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So who are they? What do they have in common? What does it have in common with everything else we've been playing? 888-876-5593 on Monday Night Trivia. And we're talking to Johnny D. And sure enough, morphine was named after Morpheus. and his tendency to cause sleep. And the guy who did it was actually a renowned Prussian pharmacist, Serdener. And he did this. He was isolating it between 1803 and 1805, and it was the first isolation of a medical alkaloid. And nonetheless, he found that opium with the alkaloid removed had no effect on animals, but the alkaloid itself had 10 times the power of processed opium, so he named that substance morphine after Morpheus.
Wow. Well, see, there, I knew it had something to do with morphine.
Yeah.
That's why I called it the Sweet Arms of Morpheus.
Yes, well, exactly. So,
that's what I thought. But anyhow, now that you're saying that, what was it brought to mind? Oh, yeah, when you were talking about Hypnos was the father?
Yes, that was Morpheus's dad, was Hypnos.
Okay, isn't there a class of hypnotics they call?
Well, there are a number of things like that, but absolutely. But, of course, hypnosis is the most well-known of the derivation. But, sure,
There was medication.
Well, it's a sedative, a hypnotic. The benzos are like Xanax.
Xanax.
Yeah, right. Or Librium. Ativan. Librium. Yeah, Librium and Valium, yeah. Ativan. Those are benzos. And what comes and is considered to be a hypnotic is a Z drug, like Ambien or Lunesta, Sonata. You know, those are Z drugs, and those are also hypnotics under the, you know, bigger form of a sedative. And so, the difference is that sedatives decrease activity. They have a calming effect. And, of course, at higher doses, they cause sleep. So any drug that mainly causes sleep is going to be a hypnotic. Any drug that just has the side effect to cause sleep is probably of this class is going to be a sedative.
Yeah, you should have been a pharmacist.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Especially these days, my God. That's a whole other subject.
Why, you'd have too many things available to you?
No. I mean, just all of the different things and the computerization. And recently I wanted to get something from...
I watch them girls and them guys, people.
Yeah, well...
When I go to a pharmacy to get something, you know.
Right.
They're constantly working. I mean, steady on that computer.
Well, and there's a number of them who feel so overworked that you've had a lot of pharmacies that actually have closed because the pharmacists aren't getting enough help, and they just say, I'm out of here. So you're starting to see that.
Yeah, they're steady working, pharmacists, you know.
It's hard work. No, thank you.
they make a lot of money, though, don't they?
Well, they do well, but, you know.
Yeah, they do.
What's a lot, and then what do you have to do for it, you know? So, I always...
Okay, now what's the previous question about 84 and 2004?
Okay, let's get back to that. I'm glad you asked. All right. In 1984, the average American did it 16 hours a year. In 2004, the average American did it 46 hours a year. Did what?
I don't know. I'll just say... I don't know what to say. Exercise, but that's not
all
it.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Pithecae, as I like to call the Pithecuses. We've talked before about Australopithecus, and now we're going to talk about Gryphopithecus alpani. So, with a Gryphopithecus alpani, A, and as you got to choose between A and D in terms of traits, A, had modern tooth proportions, B, was a large bodied arboreal quadruped, C, had the dental morphology of a carnivore, or D, was likely bipedal according to the latest fossil remains found.
Okay. How do you spell the first part of that?
What, Gryphopithecus alpani? Gryphopithecus. That's Gryphopithecus, and alpani is Alpani.
That there.
Yes.
That there was arboreal.
Was a large-bodied arboreal quadruped?
Yeah.
We have a winner.
That's what I thought. Yeah, yeah. Ithropithecus.
Yes, Gryphopithecus. Yes. Some of your closest friends, I'm sure. Well, you are a winner.
I know. Okay, Raleigh, good right. talking to you.
Likewise.
I'm going to go to the sweet arms of Morpheus.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Enjoy every minute of it, don't you know? All right, thanks.
I will.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, and we'll add to Johnny's stash there. And, yeah, so how about that? Now, 888-876-5593. We're going to do some AM radio trivia with Tim in Shreveport. Hey, Tim, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. How about yourself, Raleigh?
All right, so last week, I believe, we talked about WTIX moving from 1450 to 690. And so, in fact, what was 690 before WTIX was on the dial position?
What was it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's see. Another radio station, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, it had four call letters. That's what we're looking for, obviously.
Yeah. Let's see. Geez, I should have looked that up.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you an alternate question, same subject. Who did he buy it from? Or actually, I won't ask it that way. That's too hard. I'll ask it this way. When he moved to 690, he actually donated 1450. He didn't sell it. He donated it. Who did he donate it to?
Mm.
So either way.
Let's see. For the call letters, I guess I would say I'll say the infamous WNOE.
No, NOE, by the way, used to be BNO before it was NOE. It stood for Baptists of New Orleans. That's who Jimmy No bought it from. But anyway, no. WTIX at 690 used to be WWEZ at 690.
WWEZ.
Yeah.
I should have known that because I have that radio locator thing on my app here, and I could look up all that kind of stuff, you know, and everything. Yeah. But, you know, when I don't look at it for a while, I just kind of forget it. But it brings up good memories, though, because I just love looking up all that good stuff.
Yeah,
like
it's a lot of fun. And New Orleans has great radio history.
Yes, they do. Absolutely. They sure do. WWL for one, too. You know,
BOK and one of my faves. And, you know, there's so much. And, of course, 990, I liked it when it was WYAT. But when it was winter, it was good, too. So,
Absolutely. Yeah. But anyway.
I'll ask you something easier next time.
Okay, that'll be fine. One question for me before you go. How many of the Sea Crane radios do you have? Like, do you have the newest solar one they have?
I've got over a dozen of them, and I'd have to look at the catalog actually to see what I had. And the CC Radio Solar, I don't have the new one, but I do have a CC Radio Solar.
That's the older one.
And I do have it, and I like the fact that you can hand crank it, because I can't tell you how many times the batteries are dead and the power's off. So that's kind of neat. The Skywave, of course, the internet radio, the pocket radio, carry that in my purse. The CC radio 2E and the 3, because John likes the 3, so that's by his bedside. I've got a few of the EP Pros, and I tend to keep them in the kitchen and bathroom, and I don't know why, but I like them. The fact that they're old analog tuning, you know, that...
I love that EP Pro, man. Yeah. EP Pro is the bomb.
Yeah, I like that.
And those 2E and the 3 is good, too.
Yeah, I haven't used them in years, but I've had a lot of their FM transmitters. And I've used them, obviously, to shift audio from one room to another. But I remember when we were living in one area of Philadelphia, I thought I was just shifting air, you know, from one room to another. And, hell, I went to the Wawa like a mile away, and there it was, big as day. And I thought, oh, this is not good. So
that's funny.
Yeah. You know, because I was obviously shifting audio on my board from doing production and stuff like that. And, you know, I thought, oh, great. I'm blaring all through Chester County. This is just what I wanted. So
Oh, wow. Yeah, those things are neat.
Oh, yeah, too. Yeah. And of course, as you know, there's just some fine tuning you can do if you take it apart, and it will go further. But I didn't expect it to go quite that far. So, yeah.
I think it goes like so many feet per second.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can fix that. You can get a couple blocks if you do some fine tuning, but a couple blocks is not like a couple miles.
Yeah, so, yeah, for sure.
I stopped doing that very quickly. So, in any event, that's the deal, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Appreciate you, Riley.
Looking forward to it. Bye. All right. So, 888-876-5593. You're going to do radio trivia with Gary from Austin. Yeah. I saved a question for him. Mark from Aurora wants to do 1974 charts, and Barb in Yorkville has music questions. Maybe we'll find out what they are first next on right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Robert James. Okay, who's that? Well, they have in common with everything else we played. 888-876-5593. We have Barbara, and she is in Yorkville. So, all right, Barbara is back. What do you got going on?
Yes. Hi, honey. Yeah. I want to know if the song called My Happiness was played by someone in the 50s.
Oh, sure. My Happiness was one of those songs that a lot of people did that, and you know, other than Connie Francis, but sure.
Connie Francis. Maybe that's who I remember hearing it
well,
with,
probably,
you know?
But it's one of those that got an awful lot of airplay. I'm trying to look on this computer to see how many versions I have. It might just be Connie. I don't know. But it was originally in the 40s, actually, and there it was like a duo, John and Sandra. I think they were the Steels. But Connie Francis did it in 58, and then Elvis Presley, they put it out with him, but that was posthumous. It was like on some album or something. But I just looked it up while we're speaking, over 145 different versions.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, here's the one, John and Sandra Steele. I thought they were the Steels. That was the first one in 48. And then a bunch of other people did it in 48, including Ella Fitzgerald and the Pied Pipers. And then Gail Storm did it in 56, and Vera Lynn did also, and Fats Domino did it in 57. And then the big hit was Connie Francis in 1958. And then Tommy Sands did it, and Andy Williams did it, and Pat Boone did it as a duo with his wife, Pat and Shirley Boone, and Kitty Wells and Teresa Brewer, and hell, into the 60s.
Teresa Brewer, what a nut.
Yeah, oh yeah, but she was big. You know, that was that pop standard.
Oh, she was terrific.
Yeah, that whole pop standard.
Yeah, she really was.
And it's very sad because that was the era between big band and rock and roll, and most of those singers have gotten short shrift. They're not many people remember them, and it's really sad because when we die, that's going to be the end of Buddy Clark and everybody else we know that isn't in anybody's Hall of Fame. Well, I'll keep them alive as much as I can.
Right. Have you ever heard the song Because of You?
Oh, of course.
It was made by
Tony Bennett.
Yes, of course.
And then Pat Boone did it.
Right, absolutely.
And that's my very favorite song.
Yeah, no, that's another one. That's Arthur Hammerstein wrote it, and that's another one that there's over 100 versions of that. The first version was Tommy Tucker, and that was an orchestra. They had, like, I think Don Brown was the vocalist, and then Tony Bennett did it in 51. He was, like, the fourth person to do it, but Les Baxter and Cowboy Copas. But maybe tomorrow night I'm going to be on late, but maybe I'll play the Tony Bennett for you.
Okay, that sounds good.
Terrific. Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot, honey.
Okay, talk to you
all
soon.
All right, thank you.
All right.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Indeed. Another hour of music trivia, of Monday night trivia, coming up in moments here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So who is that? All right. Has something in common with everything else we played tonight, and we'll discuss it at the end of the hour in depth. But if you know now, that's terrific. So 888-876-5593. And we got another question here. I didn't lose it already. I had it a moment ago. I was busy writing Tony Bennett on it. All right. So that's for tomorrow night. In 2004, the average American did this 46 hours a year. 20 years earlier, 1984, the average American did it only 16 hours a year. Did what? So that's my question. Those are my bumper stumpers. And you can have your own category, as we prove repeatedly. Gary and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh.
How's it going?
How you doing today?
Hanging in. All right.
I have a quick guess on the trivia question.
Good.
And that would be they were watching more cable TV.
Oh.
Or VCRs as opposed to broadcast TV.
That's a lovely answer. It's not right, but it's a great answer.
Well, I spent seconds thinking about it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. No, it makes all the sense in the world. I have no idea what those stats are. All right.
Yeah, no.
So a radio question, and we'll stick with Dallas, because it's easy and you know it so well. All right, so arguably the first jingle mass manufacturer, those who syndicated their jingles, was PAMS. Everybody knows PAMS. You know PAMS.
Right.
What does it stand for?
Oh, program.
No.
Something music service, I think.
No, there's no program, there's no music.
Okay. And I know I've heard this, too.
And it started in the 40s, long before call letter jingles.
Yeah. Oh, this is a good one. And I know that I won't know it because I know I've heard it or read it somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
A long time
you've heard it.
And it's not coming to what's left of my mind.
Yeah,
so.
I relate. Well, good old Bill Meeks, he named it. You ready?
Yeah.
Production, Advertising, Merchandising Service.
Oh, yeah, now I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, in the 40s.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Well, always good to talk to you.
Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye.
Enjoy it.
Good
Goodbye.
Deal. So it's hard to beat Gary, so I have to work hard. And then I thought about this, I think I've got one. And it worked. Amazing. All right, Mark is in Aurora. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How's it going, Mark?
Oh, I'm mellow tonight. And what piece of jewelry did Whoopi Goldberg lose?
Oh, it was a necklace. And to tell you, it was like it was 80 carats, and it was a yellow diamond. And the deal was that Harry Winston designed it. So a $6 million 80-carat yellow diamond necklace. And she looked down, and the diamond was gone. And, you know, that was the only part of the lit necklace that was much money, to say the least. And so this frantic search ensued. And ultimately, one of the security guards for Winston found it in her cleavage. But to this day, I want to know exactly how did he find it? Did he see it? Did he feel it? I can't imagine. You know, I'm not sure I want to know,
I don't. You can't be expected to keep abreast of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. So, right.
And on the current trivia question, is it increased use of social media?
No, but that's nice.
Yeah, I think that's too few hours.
I do too. Actually. Absolutely, I do. More like 46 a week. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. And, you know, it's amazing to me, like you talk about social media. Like right now, there's a lot of talk because there's the latest phishing scam on Facebook is that they put something in notifications that says your page is slated for delisting because you violated some copyright thing. Well, you know, it'll be delisted tomorrow if you do not respond in the next 24 hours. Well, of course, it's a scam, and people should recognize that before they ever click on anything. They should read the whole URL, and they'd know it wasn't from Facebook. But a lot of people have been caught. And what's interesting to me is a lot of them are just bitching to hell and back that, well, Facebook won't do anything. Well, excuse me, do you realize your page is free? That's the four-letter F word, free. They're not obligated to do anything for you. Now, my question is, why would anybody rely, if they're a business, on marketing in a free service? That's crazy.
Yeah.
And so I have no sympathy for any of these people. And I hear more and more businesses, like I even hear it sometimes with our radio station. Well, I don't need to advertise on the radio because we do everything on Facebook. You know, good luck with that.
Well, yet another scam relying on rapid panic reaction.
Well, that's right. And it works like a charm because fear is the greatest motivator, as COVID-19 taught us all. But in any event... it's just the bitching about they think Facebook should have responsibility. Well, excuse me, you're not paying them. Why would you think they should? So, you know, unfortunately, there you have it. All right, so it's not that. And we are moving along to charts for this week in 1974. Are you ready?
Yep.
Number one, Dark Lady.
Here.
Number two, Seasons in the Sun. And, you know, I can't believe it was that recent. I thought it was older than that. Not much, but I thought it was, you know, like 1970 or something. But nonetheless, 74, Seasons in the Sun, which the previous week had been number one. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Number three, Sunshine on My Shoulder.
John Denver.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. Number four, Boogie Down.
I believe that's Eddie Kendrick.
Of course it is. Yes. Frank Wilson and Leonard Caston Jr. wrote it. All right. Number five, Mockingbird. And obviously it's not Inez and Charlie Fox.
James Taylor and Carly Simon.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Number six, Benny and the Jets.
Elton John.
Number seven, Hooked on a Feeling.
Blue Swede.
Yes, Ooga Shaga, Ooga Shaga. Number
Ooga
eight.
Ooga Shaga, Ooga
Shaga. All right. Number eight, Jet.
Oh, McCartney and Wings.
Yes, afraid so. Number nine, RS2.
Is that again? Oh, RS2.
Yes.
I know that I know this.
Yes, you do.
But it's slipping my mind at the moment.
Oh, you'll be upset. Mocadores.
Yeah.
All right.
Spanish group.
Yeah, Mocadores. And number 10, Jungle Boogie.
Jungle Boogie Cool in the Game.
Yes, that's absolutely right. 90% sounds good to me.
Yeah, okay.
All right, well, you, as usual, are a winner. So hang on, don't go away. All right, so
okay. Absolutely,
we'll confirm that address, though. Again, that's one that John probably has memorized, but nonetheless, yes. Number 11, by the way, was Come and Get Your Love, Redbone. Yes, and Rock On by David Essex was number 12. All right, so there we have it. Now, you can have your own category. Sky is the limit, and we'll prove it with James on the South Side. Yes, the sender of 4 zillion stories, which we'll use tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday night. But he wants World War II. As always, and he'll have it next, but there's a line available for you, actually three of them, 888-876-5593. That's 8888 Raleigh. So if you know my question, in 2004, the average American did this for 46 hours a year. 20 years early, the average American, earlier, that would be 1984, the average American did it only 16 hours a year. Did what? Which was really on the rise. So, what was it? I don't know what it is now. I'll see if I can't find a figure. But this was out of the Chicago Tribune, and they wrote it in 2004. So I leave it to you to figure out what's what with that. Another bumper stumper coming up. Maybe the theme is becoming apparent, or maybe the next artist will be. I think so, but we'll find out from you. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. All right, so who is he? And what is it in common with everything else we played tonight? And there's a very, very distinct feature that joins every one of these records. What is it? All right, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And again, if you don't know my question, then we'll ask you again. In 2004, the average American did it for 46 hours a year. 20 years earlier, in 1984, the average American did it for only 16 hours a year. Did what? All right, so there's your question. But if you don't like it, you can have your own category. And boy, do we prove that every week. And we're about to do it again with Andrew in Chicago. How's it going, Andrew?
Hello.
Yeah.
First, I'd like a soap opera trivia question.
Okay, here we go. We'll go to the UK for this. What is the name of England's oldest television soap opera?
Coronation Street. No.
Yes.
Television?
No, you're absolutely right.
Coronation Street.
You're absolutely right. The oldest television soap opera.
Otherwise, it'd be The Archers.
No, it was Coronation Street, debuted in 1960.
December of 1960.
Well, it was still on when the questions were written, which was probably about 2009. So I don't know if it's still on.
Still on and still going strong. I mean, they have characters, Raleigh, that, that have been on literally since the beginning, and they still write, real stories for them. They're not, just on the back porch, and that's what I like about the British soaps, that they do introduce characters who are well over 70, new ones, and they actually write good but age-appropriate storylines with them. And that's something that I wish that American soaps would start doing.
Yeah. Well, in general, the UK is much better at appreciating their history than we are overall. That's so well known.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you first said there were the same characters for like 50 years, I thought, my God, I hope they're still not going to the high school prom. Yeah, good to see that it's age appropriate.
Yeah. Aside from that, you know, I've always hung around old people. They say, you know, I'm an old soul, whatever that means. But so it's always easy for me to come up with stories for old people, you know. But I even know old people in their 70s who have a hard time writing for old people, at least a variety of different type of stuff. I can think of a million. I worked at a retirement center as a housekeeper, and holy Christ.
Yeah, that would be a soap opera in and of itself.
I would love to do something like that, but without making it, you know, comic like Golden Girls. But no, I mean, it's the fact that half of them, you know, most of them were clinging to me a lot, especially the women, because literally their kids and grandkids has dumped them there and just never looked back for 15 years. And that's so sad.
Oh, it is.
There are love triangles that happen at retirement centers.
Oh, I'll bet. Like I say, that's a soap opera waiting to happen. Well, you know, first you'd have to convince advertisers that someone over 54 would buy their product.
Yeah, that's always the problem. Secondly, what I wanted to talk about is I finally found the Darlene Edwards, a.k.a., you know, Stafford's version of I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar.
Oh, yeah.
I actually like that one better.
Oh, God. Well, I would say I can understand that since the first one was so damn bad. At least make it comedic.
Oh, yeah, because when she says, when she goes on about how I'm a woman, I can do anything.
Yeah
I'm like, yeah, it's perfect. The Darlene Edwards style composed with the lyrics, it actually makes it better as a comedy song.
Yeah, I agree.
And because it's so ironic. And I would much, besides, I usually like songs like, what was her name? Peggy Lee's.
Is that all there is?
No. the Peggy Lee song, it has a similar title. I'm a woman.
Yeah, no, it's actually I Am Woman, and it's the same title, but it's a completely different song. It's a Lieber Stoller song.
And I love that song.
Oh, okay.
I like the way she sings it.
Oh, okay.
I have a question. Can you play at least part of the Darlene Edwards, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar?
Yeah, sure. Let me see if it's on this computer. It may be.
It's on YouTube.
No, I know that, but I tend not to do that. But I can, but... I'm looking for, it might be on this computer. It may not. Let's see what we've got. I'll look for it. I'll look for it during the next break.
Are you on the radio station you own?
What do you mean? How often am I on it?
Do you host?
And it's more than one, you know, but on my AM, which is kind of my toy, my love, that's completely automated. And it's just basically what was on the old 8 tracks that I had in the car. You know, there's no real rhyme or reason to that. And I have liners on there, but that's about it. As far as KQSS, that FM, that's number one in the county. That's a serious radio station. And the only time I'm on it, once a month, I host like the Board of Supervisors meeting or the City of Globe Mayor meeting, or there's now a new group, Citizens Against Increased Taxation. I'll do a meeting with it. So stuff like that. But other than that, I don't have time. So that's really about it.
You once said that you were doing this getting on WGN as a favor?
Well, that's how it started out. Yes, a favor.
For a friend?
Yes. For somebody who has saved my life more times than I can tell you. I might not be here alive and eating if it weren't for his generosity over the years. So when he said,
Who was it?
Sean Compton. When he said, I really need somebody to do nights, I just don't have anybody that I really want. And, you know, for whatever reason, God love him, he thinks I'm the answer to nighttime talk radio. He said, would you please do this for me? And he was smart, because originally he didn't say, like, long term. He said, just a favor, just for a while, and of course we'll pay you. And oh, they do, so that's not an issue. But you know, I went into it thinking I was going to do it for a couple months, and it's been over 3 years.
Oh wow.
So
me being autistic is taking the he saved my life literally.
No, not literally.
Was it literal?
Financially, literally. It was going to be a holocaust without him.
I get that. I have two friends in particular. I only allow myself to borrow money from, and I pay them back every time.
Yeah, and
that they saved my bacon. I would be homeless twice.
Well, exactly.
I mean, I was homeless twice, but I would have been under a bridge homeless.
And in this case, it wasn't lending me any money. It was putting me in positions where I could make the money when other people wouldn't do it.
Huh.
So whatever he needs, you know, if he says jump, I say hi, and that's all there is to it. And so, you know, we talked about it fairly recently, and I said, you know, here's the deal. I'll do it as long as I can, and we'll see what that means. You know, physically, I can't promise tomorrow, but I'll do it as long as I can, and you know, we'll go from there. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. Because we got to find out what's going on in the world at large, of course, on WGN Radio.
I can wash out 44 pairs of socks and have them hanging out on the line. I can start an iron 24 shirts before you can count from 1 to 9. I can scoop up a great big dipper full of lard from the drippings can. Throw up the skillet, go out and do my shopping, be back before it melts in the pan. Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A.
WGN Radio. No, that is not a bumper stumper, and that's not part of the theme. That is something that Andrew wanted me to play. I'm a woman. And 1963, by the way, you know that Peggy Lee version wasn't the first one. Are you there with me, Andrew? I thought we were there with Andrew, but maybe we've lost Andrew. In any event, it was originally Christine Cottrell, and that was a Lee Berenstoler bit. And I had, I guess we had no more to say, but talk to Andrew soon. But there's some I'm a Woman. It is I'm a Woman. It was on Capitol, Peggy Lee's version. And that's the one that charted, not well, but it did chart. And I don't think Christine Cottrell charted, but I don't think I have the Christine Cottrell on this computer, but I did have the Peggy Lee, so that was easy to play. Now, about that bumper, because we did have one that fit our theme. So, who was this?
Many a time I cried for you, alone in the deep dark night, hoping you'd open up your heart to me, and everything.
WGN Radio. All right, that's the second last bumper stumper for tonight. We'll play one more, and then we'll reveal the theme. You might not know the theme. If you do, that's great. But otherwise, if you know who it is, yeah. Not an unknown name, that's for sure. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-RALEIGH. So we have our question, which was here moments ago. Yes, here we are. In 2004, the average American did this 46 hours a year. 20 years earlier in 1984, the average American did it only 16 hours a year. Did what? All right, if you don't like my bumpers and you don't know my question and you have another category, everybody knows something about something. Well, whatever you know about, call and ask a question like James will on the South Side. We're going to do a little World War II here in a moment. Then strut your stuff. So 8888 R-O-L-L-Y-E. So we talked to James on the South Side. How's it going, James?
Fine. I'd like to take a quick shot at that question.
Okay.
I was going to say tax preparation.
Oh, yeah, not the bumper, the question, sure. Not tax preparation, God knows. But I don't know how much time people spend on that. I think that's why God gave us accountants. In any event, I have a World War II question for you.
Okay.
What was the name of the British establishment where German codes were broken?
Okay. Bletchley Place?
Good enough. Bletchley Park. Yes, Bletchley Park. Good enough. All right. Impressive as always, James. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. Okay. So, very good. Very, very good. Bletchley Park. Yeah. And pretty good. Let's see. We will check out Tommy in Chicago. He knows a bumper. All right, Tommy, what'd you hear you know?
Hello, Robbie. How are you?
All right. How about yourself, Tommy?
Feeling good. Listening to you.
Always wonderful. You, what do you know?
You played Keep Loving.
Yeah.
Billy Stewart.
Absolutely right.
And then afterwards, I was listening and holding on, and I think I heard Etta James.
You did not. But there's something close, I'll say, not Etta James, but I would associate this person with Etta James.
Sugar Pie DeSanto.
And we have a winner, of course.
Oh, oui.
Yeah, Keep Loving and Open Your Heart. Yes, absolutely right. All right. Well, very good. Hang on. We'll confirm that address. You are a winner. All right. So
Appreciate you.
Yeah, you too. Tommy is going to get a lot of stuff when we ever mail anything out, which, you know, we actually will have to do sooner or later. I promise. And let's see what Robert in Stickney thinks. So, Robert, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Tommy from Chicago beat me out with Billy Stewart, but I would like to do charts from November 1963, anytime in November.
Yeah, November 63, an infamous time. So
Yes.
Stopped a lot of things cold, that's for sure, like the Phil Spector Christmas album. But let's see. Yeah, he wasn't too pleased. Let's see what we can get here. Any particular week in November? Do you care?
Probably. Well, how about mid-November sometime? It'd be fine.
Okay, yeah. The week of November 16th. You ready?
Okay, yeah.
Number one, Deep Purple. Oh, wait a minute. You said 64. You said 63, right? You
did 63, yes.
Okay, we're together. Deep Purple.
Neil Tempo and April Stevens.
Absolutely. Number two, Sugar Shack.
Jimmy Gilmer.
Yep, number three. Fireballs, but that's right. Number three, Washington Square.
Oh, wow. Oh, boy.
Yes,
I remember this, too.
Right. An instrumental, yes, on Epic, yes.
Yeah. Something kind of Stompers, Village Stompers.
Yes, absolutely right, the Village Stompers. Number four, I'm leaving it up to you.
Oh, Dale and Grace.
Number five, It's All Right.
It's All Right. Oh.
Say It's All Right.
Say It's All Right. Yeah. The group that Jerry Butler was in. Yeah.
Right.
The Impression.
Absolutely. There's no say in the title, but I knew you'd know it that way. Number six. Oh, God. Maria Elena.
Oh, Los Indios Tabajaras.
Yes. Number seven. She's a Fool.
Oh, Leslie Gore.
Number eight, Bossa Nova Baby.
Oh, that's Elvis.
Number nine, Everybody.
Oh, Tommy Rowe.
And number 10, 500 Miles Away from Home.
That wasn't Bobby Bear, was it?
Yes, it was on RCA.
Oh.
Well, you aced
great.
It. You got all 10. Excellent. You are a winner.
Yeah.
All
great,
right.
Great.
Well, hang on a minute. Don't go away. All right. So we have a winner with Robert in Stickney. He got all 10 of them, just like that. Put him on hold and confirm that address. And let's see. And James, we did our trivia with, so I'm taking a count here. Oh, Naoto in Japan. I'm not sure. What kind of trivia would you like?
Yeah, I want MBTI trivia.
What is that?
Like a personality test, like psychology-related test.
Okay. Yeah. Now that's interesting. Myers and Briggs, a personality trivia. All right, hang on, don't go away. We'll come up with personality trivia coming up right here. Don't go away. All right, with Naoto in Japan. See, so everybody knows something about something. Now, that's an obscure piece of knowledge. I love it already. All right, so 888-876-5593. Your final bumper stumper is coming up in moments here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. All right, who is that? Obviously, it's not Fontella Bass. And that's our final bumper stumper. So what do they have in common with everything else we played tonight? All right, now we're talking with Naoto in Japan. And this is an interesting trivia question, to say the least, as far as categories, because you're talking about MBTI. So we're talking about personality types. On the screen, it said NBTI, and I thought, my God, we're talking transistors. So I don't think we are talking transistors. We're talking about the personality types, right?
Right.
Okay. So which personality type is the least likely to take pictures at concerts or live events, but the most likely to spot plot holes in movies or books?
INTP?
INTJ.
Oh,
yeah. They also were the most likely to say it was easy to do well in school, most likely to find learning with other people more distracting, most likely to prefer single player to multiplayer games, enjoy classical music, expect the worst, and keep their social media profile private. Yeah. I'm fascinated.
INTP.
Yeah, INTP, they're the most likely to find it difficult to focus in the morning, most likely to consider becoming an astronomer, most likely to dream of winning a Nobel Prize in physics, most likely to disagree with majority opinion, least likely to trust anyone, most likely to say black is their favorite color, and least likely to try to make their boss look good.
Yeah, I'm wearing all black clothing today. So
There you are. Well, I think I'd fall into that one too, Naoto. I got to tell you, looking at all of them, and there are 16 types, and that's fascinating. How did you come across this?
In 2017, I was just randomly searching the internet, and I found interesting
I think it was an advertisement or like something like that. And it was related to this personality test. And I took a test and I got a result and it was INTP.
Okay.
And yeah. Since then, I've been, I took three times and all of them were INTP. So.
Yep, well, I think I'm with you. And what's really interesting, it's Myers-Briggs, and neither Myers nor Briggs was a psychologist. But this is used especially in businesses across the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, what a great question. Right? What a great question. I'm glad you called, and I hope you will again soon.
Yeah, and I will send you a picture as soon as possible.
Oh, good. Looking forward to it.
Me riding a motorcycle.
Yes, I want to see you on that motorcycle. All right, thanks. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Yeah, and sometime maybe we'll talk about the 16 types, but INTP is the thinker. Yeah. All right. So, let's see, what are we doing here? I think it's time to have a discussion with you about this. Now, our trivia question we're going to hold over for next week as far as that goes. But the reason that we picked this theme tonight, and it's a definite theme, is because it's time to say happy, happy birthday. Yeah, Renard Minor has turned 78 today. So I don't know if he's listening. Hopefully he is out celebrating and having a wonderful time. And we are absolutely thrilled he is still around to celebrate, because a number of other people also born on March 18th who aren't. And I used to have a whole list of them. I should try to find that one. But nonetheless, it was funny because I had thought of this theme last night, and then Carol had written today and thought about the exact same theme. And it was like, thank God, because I last night carefully crafted all the questions I wanted to ask. And of course, oh man, when I got up today, they were just all gone. So some of the songs were, in fact, absolutely, if not all the songs, were inspired by Carol's brilliance. So we thank her for that. And so when I say it's Renard Minor's birthday, every song we played was written or co-written by Renard Minor. So Renard turned 78 today, born in 1946 in Chicago. So what did we play? Let's cut to the chase here. Because what I tried to do, of course, was not play the hits. I wasn't going to play Rescue Me by Fontella Bass. However, the last song I played was Rescue Me by Ann Peebles, 1969 on High from the LP This Is Ann Peebles. We started it off tonight with the Four Kents doing Higher and Higher, 1968 on RCA. It was an album cut LP Four Kents, only released in Italy, but we still had Marianne. No. Second thing we played was Mary Wells' I'm Learning, 1965 on Stateside. A lot going on in that song. Harold Hutton, yeah, did Lucky Boy, 1965 on Checker. It was Cliff Bennett and the Rebel Rousers that did We're Gonna Make It, 1966 in Parlophone, and we also played a little of his Who's Cheatin' Who, which also is a Renard Minor composition. Jackie Ross did We Can Do It, The Gems, and that was 1965 on Chess. The Gems, also 65 on Chess, He Makes Me Feel So Good. It was Mary and the Desirables, Hurtin' Hurts, 1966 on Checker. And then we did play some Fontella Bass. I Can't Rest was Fontella Bass, 1966 on Checker. Billy Stewart, which was identified, Keep Lovin', 1965 on Chess. And Sugar Pie to Sano, Open Your Heart, 1963 on Checker. And then, as I mentioned, we closed with Ann Peebles, Rescue Me, 1969 on High on an album. So that's what you heard. And that was all in celebration of Renard Minor's 78th birthday today. Now, who does he share birthday wishes with on this day? Well, Charlie Pride would have been 90 today, born in 1934 in Sledge, Mississippi, and died December of 2020 in Dallas. Robert Lee Smith, one of the Tams, he is still alive, and believe it or not, he is still performing. He's 88 today, born in Atlanta in 1936, last original member of the Tams, and has his own lineup of the group. Wilson Pickett would have been 83 today, born in 1941 in Prattville, Alabama. So happy birthday to all, but especially a big, big, big happy birthday to Renard Minor, 78 years old this week. If you weren't listening earlier, our question about who lost the loaned jewelry from the Oscars, it was Whoopi Goldberg. Goldberg in 2002, and it was found in her cleavage. We're still wondering about that. And our other question we will hold over until next week at this time when we play Monday Night Trivia again. And I don't remember if I'm supposed to say goodnight, everybody, now or not, but I'll think that I am and then just prattle on otherwise. And we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Couldn't play trivia without you. And it's always nicer to do the show with you involved. So until tomorrow night. Now, let's talk about tomorrow night briefly, shall we? All right. John says, keep talking. Okay. John says, keep talking. All right. Well, you know, I've been known to do that. All right. So tomorrow night, we are on the air at about 12:30 Central. And it's after the... John has a question. What is your question?
I thought the Oscars was Oprah Winfrey, not Whoopi Goldberg.
No, it was Whoopi Goldberg in 2002. Okay. Whoopi Goldberg, 2002. Someone had guessed Oprah Winfrey earlier, but no, this was Whoopi Goldberg, 2002. And a $6 million 80-carat yellow diamond necklace borrowed from Harry Winston for the Oscars. Yeah, I'm pretty sure our winner said Whoopi Goldberg. I hope so, because that's the answer. We did have people guessing on Oprah, but no, Whoopi Goldberg. All right, hopefully that's together. I don't know. The prizes aren't worth it anyway, so you're just doing it for the fun of it. So as I say, tomorrow night, 12:30. And the reason for that is sports interruptions. And then Wednesday night... Let me make sure. I believe. Let's see, what do we have Wednesday? Oh, actually, no. Wednesday night, we're an hour late. We start at 11 Central instead of 10. So tomorrow, midnight 30. Wednesday, 11 p.m. And then Thursday, again, is midnight 30. So short shows all this week, but that doesn't mean I don't want you to join me and hopefully weigh in on whatever's on your mind. Looking further down the road, the following week, the week of the 25th, Monday night is a full show for trivia. And then we get into Tuesday, we're delayed by an hour. Wednesday's a full show, and Thursday we're delayed by 2 hours. And then that's pretty much it. As far as that goes, the week of April 1st, it's full speed ahead, and then some things break up later in April. But so that's the deal. So pretty much abbreviated shows the rest of this week. So tomorrow night at around 12:30 after the game, we'll spend about a half hour together, and I'm already looking forward to it. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.